Good morning on this damp and noisy San Francisco morning. I'm sure it's going to get even noisier. I'm going to talk about coping with cognitive dissonance while students go on study abroad. Myself and my coworker, we said yesterday it would be nice to have relationships to disclose, wouldn't it? Financially. There are a lot of good things about study abroad, particularly on the increasing the cultural awareness. But what I want to talk to you about today, and one of the things that also happens that's particularly relevant, is cognitive dissonance. When we see people behaving differently to what we think people should do, if we're sort of conflicted in what we're seeing and what we're thinking, then we experience this cognitive dissonance. So the purpose of our study was to discover how students actually cope with this cognitive dissonance while they're on the study abroad trips. And I'll be talking about two different trips. My colleague takes students to Uganda, and I take students to Bangladesh. And why is this turning on its own? Stop. And it's a 3.5 week experience between the first and second semester, so from the end of December through to the middle of January. Just a little bit about the two countries. If you took half the population of the U.S. and put them all in Iowa, then you would have what Bangladesh looks like. So it's a very small country with a very large population. Uganda is about the size of Oregon, and while they don't have as many people, it's still a very poor country. Literacy rates are low in Bangladesh and about twice in Uganda. So some of the strengths of immersion that we're always telling students and telling each other and telling colleagues is that it increases students' awareness of their own beliefs, values, and practices because they see something different, so it heightens awareness of what they themselves believe and value. They also are able to learn from clients. They can hopefully cope with factors that can affect care. It increases their cultural sensitivity and hopefully a little bit of confidence. And it increases perspective transformation. They become a little more aware of what else happens out in the world. During the trip, we noticed that a lot of these students compared where they are with where they came from and what they know. I mean, that's normal. Whenever you move somewhere, you're always comparing where you came from with what you know. But it was also obvious that many of the students became visibly upset during some of their experiences, or if they weren't visibly upset, they actually wrote about them in the journals. And I'll talk a little bit more about the journals. And we labeled this the cognitive dissonance. And we wanted to know how students cope, and is there anything that we could do to help them cope with these experiences? So we got our IRB clearance for this, and then we did a narrative content analysis of reflective journals kept by the students on these trips, and my colleague used a program called Dragon, I think that's what she called it, where she could speak into the computer and the computer wrote, so we didn't have to actually do the transcriptions for it. Mm-hmm. We used InVivo for narrative analysis, and we identified situations where the students became upset or what they perceived as wrong and looked at how they actually cope with those situations. We had them write journals throughout the trip from before they even left to about a month after they came back. They had to include their thoughts, feelings, judgments, evaluations, tie in the readings because we also had classes every day. This was a 6-credit course that the students got in 3 weeks. So they had to have class every day. It was interesting because I gave the students trigger questions, including discovering what are people proud of, what are their accomplishments, analyze what you've read, do you see yourself as becoming more culturally competent? Whereas my colleague Sarah didn't give them those prompts, but the students wrote about exactly the same things, which we thought was kind of interesting. These are our participants. Majority of them are nursing students. I also took medical laboratory science students 1 year and some PT students the following year. And this year I've also got some PT students coming with me. You see, mostly they're young. Every once in a while we'll have an RN who's coming back for her degree coming with us, and so they're older than the standard university student. Overwhelmingly female. And so the four themes that we came up with through this analysis was attitudes and behaviors towards patients by healthcare providers in clinical situations, different hygiene practices of healthcare providers, different perceptions of time and commitment to scheduled appointments, and failure to remove or recycle trash from communities or family home sites. So these were the four things that we identified as causing cognitive dissonance in these students. And you'll see I've got coding on the following slides, B for Bangladesh, the year, and a participant number. And then G for Uganda. Or U, that should have been a U, sorry. attitudes and behaviors towards patients in clinical situations. A lot of time what the students were seeing is that nobody explained to the patient what was happening. Things just were done. They saw people being very rough when they were handling patients or moving patients, leaving patients to cope on their own. One of my students talked about nurses being in their nurse's room and with the family members crowded around the door and the nurse just handing the IV solution bag to the family saying, go ahead, hang this up. And so that kind of behavior and what they perceived attitudes of healthcare workers really upset the students. And you'll see there's a couple of other quotes up here as well of situations that both groups of students observed and got very upset about. Study abroad does trigger disturbances of the usual. And I think that was very obvious when we read the students' journals and when we were talking to them. For example, in one of the facilities that the students went into, there was one BP cup for the facility. Power electricity went out on a regular basis in both countries. There are no generators. There might be a generator for the OR, but there tends not to be generators, particularly in the smaller communities and in the smaller hospitals. The second theme was the attitudes of the healthcare providers to hygiene. What was common and interesting to notice is that when healthcare workers wore masks, it was below the nose. And so the students were sort of, you know, do we copy that, or are we supposed to wear them the appropriate way? Hand washing, again, it wasn't as ubiquitous as that the students would have liked to have seen. And you never saw hand sanitizer anywhere, which, of course, in our facilities, I think we have at every doorway, at every sink, and everywhere else. And you'll see some of the quotes by the students from their journals as well. Flip-flops in the OR always surprise the students. Study abroad creates that critical awareness and understanding that life is different elsewhere. And a lot of people in the world live that way, and the students aren't aware of that because they are in facilities that have so many resources that they don't know what to do with them all. You know, there were other issues in the hospital situation, such as lack of privacy, which you see in one of these pictures. But the students weren't as concerned with that as they were with some of these other issues. It didn't seem as jarring as the way patients were treated. This was a big one, the different perceptions of time and commitment to schedule appointments. And we've all heard about how time changes when you're somewhere else. And the frustration with this came through loud and clear. Although we warn students that they need to be adaptable, and we can have sudden or abrupt changes in our schedule. For example, we could be standing waiting for a bus that never arrives, and then you get a phone call an hour later saying, sorry, that got canceled. So those kind of things change. And the students, some of them adapted okay with that, but others were very concerned with not having sort of a set schedule. But of course, that helps them to recognize their own ethnocentrism, and then it also helps to explain some of the issues with appointments of refugee and immigrant populations in our own country. If your perception of time is different, then the way you handle appointments is going to be different. And it takes time to learn that. So even though we talk to the students about that, we're hoping that they remember that and helps them to understand the populations a little better. The other thing that really bothered the students was the failure to remove or recycle garbage from the communities or family home sites. You know, we saw open sewers that people were cleaning out by hand. Seeing people drop garbage on the ground. And that was one of the things that both groups of students had trouble with. You eat a bag of chips and people would just drop it on the ground. What we usually did was take our garbage, put it in our pocket in our bags and take it back to wherever we were staying and put it in a garbage bin there. We're not sure what happened to it after that, but at least we felt better that it had gone into a garbage. And being in an environment so different from their home challenges them to assess their view of the world. And the energy to confront these themes that we're talking about resulted in a lot of, not so much sickness, burnout, disillusionment, but a lot of withdrawal and a lot of writing into their journals about what they were doing. So some of the coping strategies that they used for this, journaling, which I've been talking about, escape. For example, traveling to a major town on the weekend and acting like tourists. RTA got very upset with the students because they were so into the shopping and having to buy this and bargain for that. And she said, they're acting just like tourists. But it was one of their coping mechanisms to deal with the cognitive dissonance. The other thing that we noticed in both groups is that after about a week and a half of close proximity with each other, is they started sniping at each other. They started picking fights. Because they didn't have the ability to sort of withdraw to a private situation all the time, they started sniping at each other. Talking formally and informally always helps. So they talked to us, they talked to our TAs, they would talk to our hosts, and during class. So we always had breakout sessions in class that we talked about. Withdrawal, distraction, blame, discouragement, anger. But in the end, they tried to remember where they were, even though they knew all this other, the other thing. Journaling was the one major tool that we used for the students to be able to write down. For example, I had one student who watched a C-section where the baby almost died. She came through that and she said, please, give me paper and a pen, I gotta write. And she spent the next half hour just madly writing about the whole experience because she needed to debrief, she needed to get some of that pressure down. So she did a lot of writing for that. So how do we as faculty then enhance student empathy and skills to cope with this dissonance? How do we provide that realistic acknowledgement of the limits of short-term cultural immersion? Do we want to, or can we actually completely prepare them for some of these situations? I'm not sure that we can. Additionally, I'm not sure that we should, because sometimes the students just need to live that experience. One of the things that happens in both these countries is that they're cut off from the internet, so they don't have that as a coping ability. Their phones don't work. And while we may have limited access to the internet, the power goes off. So then you still don't have access to the internet. So personally, I think they actually just need to be there and live through it. And it's one of those learning experiences. We always get students at the end of this experience at both ends of the spectrum. You get one end that says, okay, I've done that. I'm never leaving America again. I know what I have at home and I know what's out there, but I'm staying here. The students at the other end that are going, this is my life's work. This is what I want to do when I graduate. And then you've got the students in the middle that we hope have taken this cognitive dissonance and brought it into themselves so that they are now better able to cope with people at home and are just that much more culturally sensitive. So in conclusion, the negative as well as positive transformative events occur during study abroad programs. Both lead to learning. Thank you.